In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let us pray. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. We pray, Lord God, thou wilt illumine our hearts to understand how glorious our Savior is as both God and man. Amen. I'm beginning a new series today. It'll be through the Gospel of John. I don't know how long it's been since I preached on St. John, but it's been a lot of years. It's been 3 years since I preached one of the Gospels. That was on St. Mark. 6 years ago, I preached through Matthew. So it might have been 10 years since I preached on John. John is a wonderful, wonderful book. Martin Luther considered St. John's Gospel so important that he said if all we had was the book of Romans and the Gospel of John, that would be enough. All four Gospels give an account of the life of Christ on earth. But John alone begins with a theology of Christ called Christology, the doctrine of Christ. All the Gospels tell what Christ did, but John begins his Gospel by explaining who Christ is. Eternal God, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, the creator of all things in the universe. In the fullness of time, he took to himself a human nature and dwelt among the apostles. And as many as receive him, as believe on his name, he makes them his sons and daughters. Believing on his name Jesus, means Jehovah Savior. Christ means the Messiah. You believe that Jesus of Nazareth is Jehovah the Savior and the Messiah, you will be saved. And he says these elect ones are able to believe and receive Christ because they've been born again of the Holy Spirit. Now let's begin with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. It says, Christ is the Word. We use words to reveal things, to communicate things. And God has always communicated things and revealed things to the world through God the Son. That's why he's called the Word. It was true in the Old Testament. It was Christ who appeared in the burning bush. It was Christ on Mount Sinai. It was Christ who appeared to Isaiah. He's the Word because he reveals God to us. Then it says that Christ is eternal. In the beginning was the Word. Not that in the beginning he was created, in the beginning he began. In the very beginning of the universe, Christ already was, because he is eternal, because he's God. It says Christ is God as plainly as words can speak. The liberals hate this doctrine. The modernists deny it. Jehovah's Witnesses deny it. Muslims deny it. The devil denies it, even though he knows very well it's true. Christ is God. St. Paul, this is not the only place it says that. St. Paul says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Not a third of it. All of it. And yet at the same time, he is a person distinct from the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's why it says he's God and he is with God. Every Sabbath we confess, Christ is very God of very God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now we're told that Jesus Christ made everything in the universe. There's nothing created that he didn't create. Sun, moon, stars, the earth, rocks, trees, plants, animals, molecules, atoms, the force of gravity and the laws of nature. Christ Jesus made these things. And he made you. And he made me. The clothing you're wearing probably has a tag on it that says what company made it. You could have a tag on you that says, made by Jesus Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus Christ is the author of life. Life is a very mysterious thing. Life. I remember 40 years ago, the scientists were bragging that they were just on the verge of being able to create life. This comes from evolutionary theory. Well, they never did it because they're not Christ. Recently, I seeded my lawn. I don't know how long that seed was sitting in Home Depot before I bought it, but I bought it last year. It's been in my garage all year. Seed was dead as a doornail. There wasn't any life in it. But when I put it in the lawn, in a week it started to grow alive. The seed became alive. Where'd the life come from? It produced living grass, and the living grass able to reproduce itself and make more living grass. Life comes from Christ. He not only gives life, but he gives light to men. The light of his truth. The light Moses received was from Christ. The light all the prophets received was from Christ. The Jewish church had the light of Christ in the scriptures, in their rites and ceremonies, their types and shadows. And yet the majority of them comprehended it not. They rejected the light. The Jews of Christ's day, for the most part, rejected the light even when it walked among them. The light shines in the world today through the preaching of the gospel, but the majority of mankind comprehends it not. They're blind to it. The darkness doesn't comprehend it. The darkness is moral darkness. The darkness of a depraved and fallen humanity. Romans says the light of nature reveals God's eternal power and Godhead. So the world is without excuse. Everybody can see it, but they don't comprehend it. Instead, they give their glory to idols, to Mother Nature, to nature myths like evolution, to false religions. He says they worship the creature more than the creator. Last week I was witnessing to an American Indian. And he said, well, we prefer to worship nature. Plain as be. We prefer to worship nature. It's exactly what Paul says the heathen do. Jesus said, men love the darkness because their deeds are evil. But you know, the darkness has never obliterated the light of God. It shines in the darkness, even though the darkness doesn't comprehend it. And the elect of every generation see that light and are saved. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. One of the elect who saw the light was John the Baptist, a man sent from God. He was the first publicly to proclaim Christ. And through his witness, others believed in Christ. And through their witness, others believed in Christ. And through their witness, others believed in Christ, right down to you and me. So in a sense, we've all been converted by John the Baptist. Actually, he was a Presbyterian. He was not that light. Preachers are not the light, but they bear witness of the light, even though they're mere men. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. When Christ came to the world, he came to a world that he had made. The world didn't know him, for the most part. With his miracles and his teaching, the Jews had every reason to see this was Jehovah. But the darkness comprehended not the light. The Jewish priests, holy men, the highest leaders of the nation, rejected him. Even the idolatrous heathen Pontius Pilate begged the Jews that he could set him free. Take Barabbas. No, they said, crucify Christ, or Jesus. He was in the world was made by him, the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Before the New Testament era, the Jews were called the chosen people. They were chosen to produce the Holy Scriptures. They were chosen to be the ones through whom the Savior of the world would come. And yet when the Savior of the world came through him, through them, they rejected him. They were supposed to be a people called by his name, the people of Jehovah. Yet Jehovah walked among them, and they hated him. The darkness comprehended it not. His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The majority of Jews, just like the majority of Gentiles, reject the light. But the elected, as many as received him, and he explains what receiving is, it's believing on his name, as I said earlier. Confessing him as Lord and Savior. They become the children of God, the true chosen people, whether Jew or Gentile. And as the scripture says, our spirits cry, Abba, Father, to God. It's because we've been adopted. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The new birth, being born again, is supernatural. It's a work of God, not of man. It's like natural birth, we have nothing to do with it. You don't will to be born. And you don't will to be born again. Birth doesn't take place because you willed it, because being spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, you never would. You would will not to have anything to do with a true God. That's why it's the work of God and not you. Not the will of the flesh. Not the will of man. The will of God. You were born again, not because of your choice, but by the sovereign grace of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The eternal Christ was made flesh. Or as we confessed in the Nicene Creed, he was made man, incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary. This is the one who was in the beginning God. He was made man. Without ceasing to be God, he became part of the human race so he could do what he couldn't do as God alone, and that is die. He needed a human nature to die in your place and my place for our sins. God dwelt among the disciples in the person of Jesus Christ. The word translated dwelt is in the original, he tabernacled. Now you know the tabernacle, like the temple, was a symbol of God's special presence with his people in the Jewish church. When Christ came, didn't he say he was the temple? The presence of God was in him. He was the temple. Destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. He spoke of his body. And now his temple, the Bible says, is his church, the place of his special presence. You say, wait, God is present everywhere. True. But doesn't he say, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them? Obviously, he's talking about what we call a special and covenantal presence. And it says, we beheld his glory. They witnessed his miracles, his turning water into wine, his stilling the storm with his word, his feeding the hungry thousands, his raising Lazarus from the dead, his walking on water. And they beheld his glory when he dazzled on the Mount of Transfiguration. Blinding light coming from his person. We beheld his glory full of grace and truth. Christ is full of grace. Aren't you glad he deals with you in grace, not according to what you deserve? You didn't deserve for Christ to save you. That was grace. You'll never be good enough to deserve going to heaven, but by grace you will go. And he is full of truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. I am the truth that will set you free. Free from your sin. Free from the power of the devil. The truth, the light that shined in our hearts through the gospel, and we are saved. And so that's who our Lord Jesus Christ is. And I can't read this without thinking, hallelujah, what a Savior. Eternal God, Creator of heaven and earth, Lord and giver of life and light, and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. We thank the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, three eternal persons, for revealing these great mysteries unto us, that we might be saved, that we might be delivered from this present evil world and go at once, at last, to heaven. Please bless these truths to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen.